I loved the emotional rush of being scared. I still do, of course. I don't go out much to haunted houses, but I still love good, old-fashioned, scary stories.
Listener discretion is advised.
Without further ado, let's get into this case like a happy little raccoon in a dumpster. It was Christmas Day, 1929, in Germantown, North Carolina, when 42-year-old Charles Lawson, a tobacco farmer and sharecropper, sent his eldest son, 16-year-old Arthur Lawson, on an errand. Arthur had been hunting rabbits in the woods near his home when he ran out of ammunition. Charlie claimed that they were out of bullets and sent Arthur into town to purchase some more, because that's what you do on Christmas Day. You go get bullets and you shoot things. That's what I do. Soon Arthur would learn that father had lied to him and there had been bullets at the house all along. The Lawson family was large, like real, real big. Charlie and his wife Fanny had 7 kids. 7 kids. I don't know how they did that. I only have 2 and I'm seriously exhausted. There was Marie, 17, Arthur, 16, Carrie, 12, Maybelle, 7, James, 4, Raymond, 2, and Mary Lou, 4 months. I don't know how you keep track of all those people. That's a lot of people. The Lawson family, they weren't fabulously wealthy by any means, but they had managed to save up enough money to purchase a home in 1927, and like that's a big deal. About a week before that fateful Christmas Day, Charles had loaded up Fanny and all 7 of their children into a car and took them into town. Charles then proceeded to purchase them all brand new clothes and had them sit for a big family photo in a portrait studio. And this was a big deal because, as I mentioned, the Lawson family wasn't particularly wealthy, and it wasn't like today when you can just like snap a quick selfie for free. Getting a photo session done was major. And for many, they would maybe only experience such a thing like once or twice in their lifetime. So big deal. If you look at the photo, it's a bit off. Typically, you would assume that the mother and father would be center in the photograph, the younger children nearest the parents, and the older kids on the outside. That placement just makes for a better and like more symmetrical photo, right? However, in the photo Charles had commissioned, Marie, the eldest daughter, and Charles are in the center of the photograph. And Fanny is like off to the side, almost with like a shadow across her face, looking like an afterthought. And this is going to come up again in support of one of the many possible theories of why this tragic instance took place. But just keep it in mind moving forward. I will post the photo on my Instagram as well so that you can see it with your own eyes and let me know what you make of it. Part of me thinks it's odd. I mean, it certainly looks odd, but I wonder if it had more to do with like the inexperience of the photographer's part and less to do with anything creepy, but I don't know. Take a look at it and let me know what you think. All right, so now we're going to fast forward to Christmas Day, 1929. And like I said, Marie had woken up early to bake a Christmas cake. 12-year-old Carrie and 7-year-old Maybelle had started down the road. They planned to walk to their aunt and uncle's house, which wasn't too far away, to wish them a Merry Christmas before returning home and like all the Christmas festivities officially beginning. Fanny watched her 2 daughters from the family's porch until their walk put them behind the family's barn. Once they were out of sight, she turned back inside, most likely to finish up a task or tend to one of her many, many children. She's got a lot of kids. But what she didn't know is that when the 2 girls passed the barn, things were about to go off the rails. Charles had been in the barn, shotgun in hand, and he had been waiting for them. Without hesitation or provocation, he shot both of his daughters before bludgeoning their heads and faces with the butt of his weapon. He dragged their 2 tiny bodies and hid them inside of the barn. Fanny must have returned to the porch, perhaps to see if she could decipher where these 2 shots had come from. Had it been her son, Arthur? Had he Was he hunting rabbits again? It might have been at this moment that she saw her husband walking towards their home.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
And now, back to our episode.
And I can only imagine what must have been going through her mind as she saw her husband getting closer and closer, shotgun in hand, with blood all over his clothing. She certainly could not have known the danger she was in, as she was the next to be killed. Next were the two toddler boys, James and Raymond. They were actually drug out of a closet or like a cabinet because they had been hiding. And then they were promptly shot to death by their own father. Then Marie, the eldest daughter, was killed. Charles then walked up the stairs to the home's nursery, where Mary Lou, only 4 months old at the time, was lying in her crib. And Charles bludgeoned her to death where she lay. Charles then positioned the bodies of his family members in like an almost ritualistic way, placing their heads upon these like makeshift rock pillows and crossing their arms atop their chest before retreating into the woods which surrounded their property. Minutes later, Arthur returned home from the market and discovered this gruesome scene. Before too long, neighbors and police were surrounding the Lawson home, everyone trying to make sense of what was happening. Charlie was missing, but had he been taken or was he responsible? No one knew for sure. Suddenly, the people who had gathered heard a lone and single gunshot somewhere in the woods. The police ran towards the sound to discover Charles Lawson dead at the base of the tree after taking his own life. Police noted that in the dirt nearby, it appeared Charles had paced back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, many times before mustering up the courage to kill himself. Found in his pockets were two ominous and perplexing incomplete notes scribbled onto the back of tobacco auctioneer receipts. One read, quote, "Nobody to blame but," end quote, and the other said, quote, "Troubles can cause," end quote. Charles! Nobody to blame but? Who? Troubles can cause? What? Ugh, I don't think we'll ever know. With this case being so old and so confusing, there have certainly not been a lack of theories to perhaps explain this bizarre and nonsensical familicide against the Lawson family. It makes sense. The human mind always wants to make sense of things, and so we tend to speculate. The human mind cannot get enough wild speculation. Okay, so we're going to talk about some theories. So the first theory is that Charles Lawson, who had in fact suffered a head injury earlier that year, may have killed his family after his injuries altered his brain. Now, this theory may have merit to it, as injuries to the brain can cause devastating effects. If you suffer an injury to either one of your temporal lobes. This may lead to you experiencing difficulty communicating or remembering things. If you were to damage your parietal lobe, you may have trouble with any one or multiple of your 5 primary senses. Maybe you can't smell or taste or hear as well as you did before your head injury. An injury to the cerebellum may affect an individual's balance, movement, or coordination. And if you are a couch potato sleuth like me, you might know that many serial killers, after being caught, admit that they were in the hospital often for head injuries, and that there was a study that scanned the brains of like a bunch of infamous serial killers, and it seemed like they had underdeveloped or damaged prefrontal cortexes. And the prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain responsible for decision making and controlling impulses. It's the part of your brain that's not finished developing until you're like 25 years old. A person who has damage to that area may experience blunted emotional responses. They may become aggressive or irritable. Okay, so I was recently watching this thing on YouTube, and it was a little like documentary about King Henry VIII. And apparently, King Henry VIII is a notorious person in history who many wrote that he was like this kind and just man, just like a stellar king. And then after suffering a head injury, he fell off of his horse while hunting. That's kind of when things shifted and he became like really cold and calculating and cruel and distant. So it's pretty interesting. A neighbor of mine told me that she had an adult son. He was 18 at the time, and he was like apparently one of like the nicest people that you would ever meet. But one night he and his friends were riding on the back of a pickup truck, and this pickup truck like suddenly came to a stop, and her son like toppled out of it and hit his head on the pavement. And she said that after that he became depressed, withdrawn, just like angry and irritable. Like he just seriously was not the same person anymore. So for these reasons, I feel like this theory is certainly plausible. It's possible that Charles' brain caused him to get agitated, irritable, irrational, paranoid, and he killed his entire family, only to later realize what he had done. And then maybe filled with regret or possibly fear of what would become of him, he decided to end his life. It should be noted that John Hopkins Hospital performed an autopsy and analysis of Charles' brain and claimed that they found no abnormalities. Another theory is that Charles didn't actually kill his family at all. Like he wasn't behind it at all. Some believe that Charlie may have been the inadvertent witness to something fraudulent because he'd been like saying like these cryptic things to friends and family, and that members of this like organized crime family took the opportunity to silence the Lawsons. Now, this theory certainly could be true. I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But if it were, I just don't see why they would allow Arthur, the eldest son, to live. Like, maybe they're like, oh, well, he's not here. We'll get him later. But they never killed him later. And why would they kill a 4-month-old and a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old? Young children who certainly wouldn't have been able to be, like, any real threat to a nefarious crime organization. I guess they could have done it to like send a message, but send a message to who? You're killing the entire family. They didn't leave anything at the scene to indicate who might have done this. So I feel like any message that they may have desired to send was definitely lost in translation. A third theory is that the relationship between Charles and his eldest daughter, Mary, was, I don't know, let's say less than parental. This theory is only found to be more salacious when you couple it with the odd placement of Marie and Charles in the center of that family photograph. And then there's also a story that was circulating that before her death, Marie had reportedly told a close friend that she believed she was pregnant with her father's child. Furthermore, the friend stated that Marie said that her father made her promise not to tell a soul, otherwise, quote, there would be some killing done. I don't like that. And a book called White Christmas, Bloody Christmas, published in 1990. A relative, Stella Lawson, was interviewed for the book. And Stella said that she had overheard Fanny's sister-in-laws and aunts, including Stella's own mother, who was named Jetty Lawson, discussing how Fanny had confided in them that she had been concerned about a possible incestuous relationship between her husband and daughter. If we believe these rumors are to be true, it means that Fanny knew, or at least suspected, an inappropriate relationship between Charles and Marie long before the familicide. We know this to be the case because Jetty Lawson, Stella's mother, died in early 1928, and the murders were not committed until late 1929. Shortly after the family murders, Charles' brother, Marion Lawson, opened Charlie and Fanny's home on Brook Cove as a tourist attraction. The cake that Marie had been baking was displayed on the tour, and I'm saying not a replica of the cake, the actual cake that she had been baking. However, because it was the 1920s and visitors were weirdos and they stole things, they began stealing raisins off of the cake, and they had to put it under glass, like under glass, so people would stop messing with it. This terrible event inspired a number of songs. In fact, there is a song called, it's real subtle the name of it, The Murder of the Lawson Family, which was originally recorded by the Carolina Buddies for Columbia Record in 1930, and then it was covered by the Stanley Brothers in March of 1956. Now, remember earlier when I told you I got into this case after watching 28 Days Haunted? Okay, so it's believed that this house is haunted, and for those reasons, the home is still open to the public today. Why could this house be haunted? Well, there are many reasons. First off, we have talked about this before in previous episodes, that if someone experiences a sudden or gruesome death, the energy of the negative event lingers, and it's possible that like spirits don't even know that they're dead, so they kind of just linger around. And this can cause some very interesting paranormal instances. My opinion, I mean, obviously, you know, it could be possible that they're haunting because they don't know that they're dead or because it was just so gruesome. But I found out through my research that if you visit the Lawson family graves, you will see that the entire family has been laid to rest in the same plot. Yes. Which makes no sense, because if we believe that Charles Lawson is responsible for killing his entire family, why did we lay them to rest together? If I were one of Charles' like kids or wife, I would be pissed, and I would for sure be haunting the crap out of people until they got that douchebag away from me, even in death. Like, can you imagine a murder victim buried alongside their killer? It's outrageous. He doesn't deserve to be with his family plots if he's the one that put them there. Seriously. Lastly, we will talk about the theories of why Arthur was spared. And seriously, I feel so, like, as terrible as this case is, I feel so bad for Arthur. Like, not only was he just 16 at the time, but he was the one to discover the bodies of his loved ones on Christmas Day. That's like supposed to be the best day of the year, and it was the worst. Can you imagine being the one to learn that your own dad did it? Like, I'm sure that Arthur suffered from like depression, anxiety, survivor's guilt, and that he often wondered, as we all do, why was he spared? Some believe that Arthur was sent away simply because he may have been a threat to Charlie. After Charles' head injury, he was not the strong man that he had once been, and it's possible that he feared that if his teenage son was there, that he would be able to overpower him, especially knowing that Arthur himself had gone hunting with his dad for years and absolutely would know how to defend himself using a firearm. Others believe that although Charles wished to commit familicide, he may have been torn in what to do with Arthur. Because remember, preserving your family line, preserving your family name was so incredibly important. And that this may be why he sent Arthur away. Arthur Lawson did end up marrying later on in his life, and he fathered 4 children with his wife before his own life was prematurely ended in a motor vehicle accident in 1945 at the age of 31. The Lawson family murders deeply, deeply impacted this tiny town in North Carolina. The family lays to rest in the small Browder family cemetery near the intersection of Highway 8 and Brook Cove Road. Who's the Browder family? The Browder family, they had been the landlords to the Lawson family before they purchased their own home. And the Browder family donated a couple of their plots because they loved Arthur. They felt so much compassion towards Arthur, and they didn't want him to like have any sort of financial strain or like have to worry about where to bury all 8 of his family members. And that is the horrible account of the Lawson family murders.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.
We have a great show today, but first, take a second to make sure you've subscribed to our show wherever you're listening to podcasts. It's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks.
Please take a moment to follow, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.